I'd like to continue tonight with our theme of living a selfless life. That what we really want is much less of ourselves, to think less of ourselves. And as I hope what is clear from the scripture is how we are to do that is by being filled with Christ. That it's a wonderfully positive thing. That we think less of ourselves because we think much of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we are hopefully less selfish because our desires are for his glory and for the good of his church. And when we're filled and taken up with these things, we are increasingly selfless. Well, what I want to focus on tonight and perhaps the next few weeks is Philippians shows us that a selfless life is a life of peace. It's a life of real peace. And that's a very important theme that is in the letter and that we see in Paul as an example. Remember, he's in prison, but there's this wonderful sense of contentment, of joy, of peace that he has. There's one important point, though, that I don't know if you've picked up on this as we've looked at different passages. That throughout the letter, there's a repeated phrase where Paul tells us, and he tells the church, to set our minds on Christ. To set our minds on Christ. Or sometimes he says, set our minds on heavenly things. Or slightly differently, he'll talk about us having the mind of Christ. Now, in all those cases, he uses the same Greek word, phroneo, which means to think on. It means to focus on, to concentrate on. You know, it's that active fixing of your conscious thoughts on something. It's connected to a word that means in Greek to shine. So it's a little bit like in your mind, there's a light that shines onto something. So that you're intently looking at it and examining it and studying it. And again, he tells us this is what we've got to do. We might also say it's another way perhaps of saying remember. Recall to mind important truths that you know. The gospel. Our Lord Jesus Christ, who he is and what he's done. Your calling. Where are you going? The kingdom of God that's coming. And we are to remember these things. We're to recall them to mind and concentrate on them and let that shape our thoughts. And actually, I'll just point out as well, if you look in chapter 3 and in verse 20 that we've just read, Paul is describing the life of unbelieving pagans, of godless people. And notice that the key thing that he says at the end of that list, at the end of verse 19, when he's describing them, is he says, they set their mind on earthly things. And so this is a fundamental difference between the Christian and the non-Christian. The non-Christian, their thoughts and desires are set on this life, on material things. And that it's not set on Christ, on the heavenly reality. Now that's a very important phrase to just remember when we look at the passage we're going to concentrate on in chapter 4 and verses 2 to 5. This closing section of the letter is all about peace. Having peace of mind. Having peace in the midst of difficult circumstances. About enjoying God's peace in a world that's not peaceful. But if we look at verses 2 to 5. Paul's very concerned about the peace of the church in Philippi. The peace of the church. It seems that there are these two sisters, Euodia and Syntyche, and that they're not getting along somehow. Now, it seems that they are prominent and mature Christians. Paul refers to them as being his co-workers with the gospel. Perhaps, you know, they were his diligent supporters upholding Paul, caring for him, or they've been caring for the sick and others in the church, or they were there as Paul's backup when he's out evangelizing and supporting him, or I actually think probably what it really means is they suffered persecution with Paul. So these are godly sisters. These are solid Christians, but there's some kind of disagreement amongst them. Now, we just don't know what the disagreement is. You know, it would just be speculation to try and guess what it is, but there's some kind of disagreement, and maybe it's actually helpful that we don't know what the specifics were. That makes it more helpful that we can apply this then to any kind of situation of conflict and disagreement amongst Christians, that there are principles Paul brings to bear to help them that we can then apply to any situation, even if the specifics are different. I trust that, you know, I don't need to say, it goes without saying, that peace in the church is essential. Unity in the church is essential. So Paul, he gives a strong appeal to these two sisters by name. Do you notice that in verse 2? He repeats the word implore. I implore you, Odia, and I implore Syntyche. It's very forceful, like Paul's reaching out through the page and he wants to hold them by the hands and he's trying to persuade them. And what is it that he wants them to do in whatever their disagreement is? He wants them to be of the same mind in the Lord. To be of the same mind in the Lord. So it's that phrase again. It's the same word in the Greek. He wants their minds to be set on the same thing in the Lord. And the main point I want to try and share with you tonight is what he really means by that, I think, is he's telling them, remember the gospel. And you need to apply that to whatever this conflict is. You need to be so caught up with how the gospel teaches us to think about things that's how you're going to think about this conflict and resolve it. You see, because without a doubt, with this phrase, Paul is very deliberately reminding us of what he's already said in chapter 2. In fact, it's almost word for word what he said in chapter 2. If you turn back with me to the first few verses of chapter 2, you remember there that Paul's speaking to the whole church. And he says in verse 1, therefore, if there is any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, fulfill my joy by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And then, of course, there's that very famous confession of faith where the Lord reminds us that the Lord Jesus gave up the status of glory that he had and humbled himself and became a servant, even to be crucified. And that's the mind that we should have. Now, there's no doubt when he says to Syntyche and Euodia, be of the same mind in the Lord, he's saying, you remember what I said there in a page or a turn of the scroll ago? And this is what he means. This is what he means. He says, you need to have this kind of mind. He's not just really saying, I want you to come to an agreement about whatever it is you're disagreeing about. He's saying, what you really need is to have this mind, the mind of Christ, to your disagreement. You need to be humble, putting each other first, counting each other better than yourselves. You need to be willing to serve, even to sacrifice, not stand on your rights. The Lord Jesus did not stand on his rights that he could claim as God, but was willing to suffer and humble himself. That's what you need to do. That the most important thing for resolving this conflict is that attitude and that mind. We work through conflict by Christians humbling themselves, putting others first, sacrificing what they think, and loving each other in that Christ-like way. And that's really what he's saying about having this same mind. So that's the first thing that they really need to remember. And then if we look at verse 3, we might say, blessed are the peacemakers. Paul speaks to another believer in the church whom he calls true companion. Again, we don't really know for sure who this is. This idea of a true companion, it's something that Paul also calls Timothy and Titus in their letters. So maybe this is an emissary of Paul, maybe it's the trusted preacher that's there, some kind of lieutenant of Paul's. But he says, look, you need to help these women. Help them. Now, again, it's very interesting that the word he uses for help there is a word that means come alongside them. And it can mean carry the burden with them. It's not the sense of somebody on high coming down and saying, you need to do this and do that and sort this out. But again, even this idea of the kind of help he's saying a peacemaker gives is in a Christ-like fashion of coming down, walk with them, be by their side and help carry the burden. And Christians do fall out. And sometimes that fallout's so big, the people involved just can't resolve it. And we may have a calling to be a peacemaker. Come alongside. Walk and help them work it through. But again, it's in this sense of a gentle and loving, Christ-like, humble way. And then again in verse 3, he tells them to remember who they are. Remember who they are. He says their names are written in the book of life. Now, that's not just a throwaway comment, is it? That's a magnificent blessing that he's putting in there as he's speaking to these women. The book of life, of course, is it's a picture of how the Lord knows his own. He knows his saints and those who are the redeemed and the elect. The picture is he's got a book, the book of life, and their names are written in it, recorded in it and kept in it. And he's saying to encourage these two sisters, you're both saints. Your names are in the book of life. You're the children of God. And he's reminding them that this is their true identity. Now, isn't that the cure for when there are factions and groups in the church? You know, I am for Paul. I am for Apollos. Well, how we get past all of that is go, no. We are the people of God. That's our real identity. We're the saints. And we're going to glory. Better sort it out now because we're going to spend eternity together. So he reminds them of who they are. And so if there's a Christian that we might be at odds with, let's remember who they are. They're a brother, they're a sister. They're a saint of God for whom Christ died. That's how precious they are. He says, remember to rejoice. Again, he's repeated that many times. Remember all the good that you have in Christ. Remember to praise and worship him. Remember your joy in Christ. When there's conflict amongst Christians, it destroys joy. So we need to stop looking at the conflict, stop looking at each other, and look at Christ and what he's done for us, and rejoice and worship him. That's what it's all about. And let your gentleness be known to all men. Again, it's interesting that one of the interesting things about Greek is often lots of different words get like stuck together and become compound words. And then you can look at the different parts and it helps you understand what the word means. And again, the word that he really uses here, the word for gentleness or meekness, it means not standing up for your rights. It means willing to yield, willing to compromise. That's why I think some of the more modern versions, they translate this as let your reasonableness be known to all men, that you're willing to accommodate, see the other side and in gentleness forbear. I think that what that tells us is there's a lot Christians should be willing to let go, to forgive, to forget, to agree to disagree, a lot of things that in the big scheme of things, it's okay. There's some things we can't compromise about, obviously. But there's degrees of that, I'm sure. But there's lots of things that might be opinions, that might be personal hurts where we should forgive. We should think the best of one another. Love one another. And the unity of the church is big enough and broad enough that there's room for all God's children. And that's having the mind of Christ. And then above all, Maybe, I think above all. Remember, he says at the end, remember, the Lord is watching. The Lord is at hand. And I think the sense of that is remember that the Lord Jesus is present. He sees how you're acting. He's watching how you are treating one another. Paul's appealing, I think, to the fear of the Lord. That does transform everything, doesn't it? When you remember, if I'm in a conflict with somebody here, the Lord Jesus Christ is watching and judging how I'm going to do this. Will I be gracious as he is gracious? Or will I not forgive? The Lord is at hand. So better that we reconcile and put things right, lest he step in and rebuke us. But I hope you see, brothers and sisters, we all want to pursue peace in the church, we must have the mind of Christ. It's this attitude that Christ has displayed to us of humility, putting the other first, of putting ourselves last for the good of the body. Christ puts himself last, dies at the cross, for the good of the body, for the good of the church. And that's what at some point we all have to do. That it's not about us and it's not about what we might desire first of all. The good of the church and the unity and humbly forgiving and serving. And that's to have the mind of the Lord. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you for the new mind you have given us in Christ. That your word teaches us to think in a radically different way. To no longer set our minds on earthly things, but to set our minds on the Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom. We thank you, Lord, for the mind that was in our Saviour. That he did not hold on to his rights and glory as God, but became man, was willing as a man to be a servant and to humble himself, to go to the lowest place for us, to save and redeem his church. And we pray, O Lord, not just in conflict, but in all our relationships with one another, that you would help us to have that same mind, to seek it, to practice it, to pursue it, that we would learn this way of thinking about each other, following Christ. We are sorry, Lord, that we are so slow to learn this, that we are so stubborn and proud, so often ungracious, and our love and forgiveness is so small. But thank you for bearing with us, Lord. And thank you for the promise that the good work you've started in us, you will finish. And so we do pray, Lord, that step by step, we would have this mind. That we as a church, Lord, would grow in love and true unity. And this would bring glory to your name. Amen.